Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for more Lions disrespect?
Am I?
Running back one runs for 129 yards, has 72 receiving yards, and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Running back two has 136 yards rushing, 82 receiving, and two touchdowns. Which one gets NFC Player of the Week?
Running back two has better numbers.
And played a better opponent.
I didn't know about that, but okay. I'm assuming running back two is Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, he should win NFC Player of the Week. Did he?
No!
Christian McCaffrey. Come on. I mean, come on. What are you afraid of, NFL? What are you afraid of?
Interesting. And I guess do you think anybody's ever welled up some, like Michael Jordan Michael Jordan could weld up some serious motivation based upon who got and who didn't get Player of the Week?
I mean, which is more impressive, the Niners beating the Falcons or the Lions beating the Bucks?
Who's a better opponent?
Yeah.
Well, the Buccaneers had the best record in the NFC.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah, this disrespect. Is total disrespect.
Total disrespect. Yep. Kang, total disrespect.
I'm just happy that the NFC Player of the Week wasn't Patrick Mahomes.
The NFC.
That's, I'm just happy for that.
He finished third.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, well up some real good old-fashioned disrespect.
Shine it up!
Mm-hmm. Gator's finding that chip on his shoulder.
There it is right there.
Chip on his shoulder. Chip on his shoulder. All right, so look, it's Pistons opener. We've had a lot of Pistons discussion today. And I'm optimistic for where this organization is. I'm not as optimistic that this team's going to take a huge step forward. And this logic, it just... My reasoning is I think they skipped a step last year. I think they caught lightning in a bottle. They got hot. They just really played for much of the season as the best version of themselves. And I liked their veterans off the bench a lot. I really like Malik Beasley and Dennis Schroeder, to be specific. I like that. If I was trying to win a game tonight, would I want last year's Pistons roster or this year's Pistons roster? And I'd probably take last year's Pistons roster if it all came down to one game only. The biggest investment in this team getting better is another year. But Gator, you think this is a 50-win team. We've had 50. Well, you said 49. You said pushing 50, or did you say?
No, I said they're going to win 50 games or more.
Yep. Kang, you got a game or two better than last year's 44 wins. I think it's about the same thing, maybe even a game or two worse. And I know the East, I know what the injuries to Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton. Cavs are still an issue. I think Orlando's going to be better. The Knicks are back. I think Atlanta, another year for Risacher and the addition of Kristaps Porzingis is, you know, a big deal. So I don't know, man. I guess I just look at this and I'm trying to keep the expectations in check because we always want young players to get good faster than they usually do. So, you know, I think the young core is very, very encouraging. And I'm not going to be that mad if they win 44 again or 43.
Yeah, I would be disappointed if that were the case. I think this team needs to show that they're going to take steps forward, and that includes the win total. And I think because the landscape in the East has changed with some of the top teams losing some players, some really significant pieces for long stretches of time, it opens up a window to be even better. And I think this is a team that got a little taste last year of what success is like. And they're hungry. And because they're young, they're going to be hungry and they're going to go for it. And I think Cade Cunningham, you know, you talk about somebody who's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he hears all the whispers about his injured past and he can't get it done. He turns the ball over too much. And I think he works on that. I think he checks it all up here. And I think he's poised to have a pretty good season. But it's everybody else. Like, I expect Cade to be great. But it's the other people on this roster that can go from being, you know, average players to above average players to good players. Let's see how good we can get out of Jalen Duren and out of other players on this team. Asar Thompson, Ron Holland, I think are key for this team to take the leap from 44 wins to say 51, 52.
Duncan Robinson played last year in Miami with Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, and obviously some guys who could fill it up. In Detroit, does a dynamic change with him playing, you know, as a spot-up shooter away from Cade Cunningham? You know, does that help him in any way? Does it get him more open looks? I'm not sure, but if and a lot of the cases have been built on people getting better as to why this team is going to be better. And then an interesting one about Duncan Robinson getting more looks here. If Duncan Robinson shoots the ball as well or better than Malik Beasley did a year ago, then wow, that would be awfully impressive. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Michigan and Michigan State go at it on Saturday. Gator 5-2 Wolverines, 3-4 Spartans. Early look at this game. How are you feeling about it?
As the week is going on, look, my early take is I think Michigan wins it, but I don't think this is going to be a laugher by any means. I think Michigan State takes this game awfully seriously. I think even Jonathan Smith has said some things this week that, you know, he's fully entrenched, bitter taste in his mouth after last year. You go back to last year's game, it was a one-score game. You know, and Michigan State had a chance. They think they made it a one-score game with like 6 minutes to go, and they just couldn't get the job done. And it got chippy at the end, as you would expect. It's a rivalry game, and this one being played in East Lansing, being played under the lights, I think the crowd's going to be fired up for this one, even though it's not a really good season for Michigan State at this point. This is the game that this is the turning point of the season. If you go out and play hard and win this game, not only does it do something for the team, it does something for the fan base too.
Does it make them more dangerous? Because they may as well sink everything they have into this game.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. I think it does. And I expect Michigan to be ready for that. But Michigan's a young team, too. And they're going through some growing pains. But it's interesting. Both quarterbacks are coming off maybe their best games. So that's exciting when you got two young quarterbacks doing battle. But Aiden Childs is, you know, is his third year of college football compared to Bryce Underwood in his first year. So
yep.
I think a lot depends on Michigan State's ability if they can stop the run or not. I don't expect Michigan State to be able to run, so that's a huge problem. They're already, you know, behind the eight ball with that. If you can't run, you better be able to protect because Michigan State can be dangerous in the passing game, but only if Childs has time to throw, and that's going to be difficult.
Childs can make things happen with his feet and create more time. And obviously, you know, last week, big gainer on the ground. I mean, he can run the football as well. I mean, Michigan, that second half last week was awfully impressive. And, you know, when you have a young team, and technically they are the youngest team in the Big Ten, when you have a young team, you find yourself looking for signs that they are turning a corner, if you will. Bryce Underwood could have been 25 of 27 last week if there were no drops. But there were drops. Andrew Marsh has really come on for them. And their running game has been potent and continues to be potent. Regardless of who's in there, you know, they might have Justice Haynes back. I guess we'll find out maybe later in the week. But I don't know if that running stat really matters anymore. The whoever runs the ball better. That was relevant when everybody's number one priority was run the ball.
Right.
But now it's just kind of, it's probably true of many games. You're running the ball. When you're running the ball well, it opens up everything else. And B, sometimes it's a product of, we got a lead, let's just run the ball and get out of here. And so we're going to run the ball a lot. But Michigan's rushing attack has been really, really good. And the USC game, if that Michigan defense shows up against any opponent the rest of the year, nothing is off the table. That was, you know, Oklahoma wasn't a great defensive effort, but it was better than USC. And that USC game, I think, might stand as a huge outlier, but to see them come back against a potent Washington offense last week and play well was a good sign for Michigan.
Well, it's been disappointing with Michigan State with the run stop, the run defense. The beginning of the season, they looked like they were going to be good. They had some big guys up front that could kind of plug some holes. And then they just, after a couple weeks, started to get exposed and exposed more and more. And what USC did to Michigan State's defense, it's the same thing. USC did it to both teams, right? But what they did to Michigan State's defense, I can't explain. It was like Michigan State had no idea where the ball was going. There were these massive holes on the line that the running backs were able to run through. And it was like they got 5 yards before they were even touched by anybody. They can't do that against Michigan. That stat is, it's interesting because that stat is very telling with this rivalry that the team that runs the ball wins the game. And
is it?
I
think it used to be.
I think it still is. You go back and I mean, what's the number? I mean, well, you may think it's just arbitrary, but I don't know if it is. And when you got a team like Michigan that can run the ball and a team like Michigan State that cannot run the ball, it's even more pronounced.
Well, I guess I'll tell you why it doesn't matter as much to me in 2025. I think when offenses were built around the running game, when more and more offenses, and now I think teams are okay with throwing it for success. But I guess typically in any series, I bet you look at it, the team that runs the ball better probably wins those games. But
well, you got to have the players. I mean, it's not that long ago. I mean, it was four years ago, the five touchdown game from Kenneth Walker. It mattered then. And I just think if you have the guy, it's going to matter. Michigan's got a guy. Michigan State doesn't have a guy. Michigan State has a group of players that they just rotate in and out. And whether, you know, if Frazier and Tau Tolliver and Tullis are the three guys that get these carries, and nobody's special. Michigan's got one guy who's special and another player who's pretty good in Marshall.
Okay, Steve Eisenman joined the morning show. We'll bring you the best of what he had to say, including his thoughts on the young guns, the 20-year-olds, and when is a rebuild officially over? Some of the questions he answered this morning. Start to hear that today at 12:20 here on 97.1. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines. Got a lot of feedback coming in on the Pistons and Michael Jordan shooting a free throw at dude he rented's house. Told him to shoot a free throw for him. We'll get to some of that coming up. As promised, Red Wings back in action tonight at Buffalo. So a chance to maybe continue to stack wins. No Patrick Kane for the next couple games, but we'll see how much that matters. But look, the general manager, of course, is Steve Yzerman. He went on the morning show, and the guys asked him some pointed questions. First, let's talk about the young players that have stepped up for this team in their 5-1 start. Well, we've talked about them quite a bit, the three 20-year-olds and how well they've been doing. Here's what Steve Yzerman thinks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah, I love the young guys. I'm glad the young guys got a chance to make the roster. And the way they played in the preseason, it was like they pounded the door. It's like we belong on this team. And they get their chance. And, you know, the one guy who hasn't really hit the score sheet yet is Brancic Nygaard. And I feel like he will. And when he scores, I think he's going to score in bunches. He's got a great shot. You know, watching one of the broadcasts the other night, Ken or Mickey, one of those guys said that he's got maybe the hardest shot on the team. Bit of a sniper and not afraid to go into the corners, which is what I liked about Casper when I first saw Marco Casper play with this team. And so these young guys have been infiltrating the lineup each of the last several years with this team. And this is I think what Eisman envisioned and the Iser plan, if you will, was, you know, we're going to have to rely on guys we draft. And hopefully it's more than just a first round pick. Well, Emmett Finney is an example of that. This guy was a seventh round pick. And he's making his mark. He had a 3-point game on Sunday. I like what these young guys have done, and there's more young players that'll be on the way over the next couple of seasons that should really be able to impact this team. But right now, these three guys are impacting in very positive.
Well, one of those younger players has 4 goals in 4 games up in Grand Rapids, and Carter Mazur. Now he had 3 in the opener, and then has had 1 since. But whatever.
He's also got like a couple assists, so he's got 6 points in 4 games.
One of the strangest things ever is I was there at his NHL debut last year.
For the one shift?
It was 2 shifts. It was 2 shifts. It was 1:10.
So sad.
And, you know, the game starts and, oh, there's Carter Mazur. And then, you know, when you're sitting in the stands, you don't always know what's going on. And then I'm like, where's Carter Mazur been? I've just been missing him. He's obviously not standing out. As this game goes on, I'm like, I'm not seeing him on the puck at all. It's because I wasn't seeing him at all because he lasted 2 shifts before he got hurt. But there's another guy that probably, had everything gone well last year, would he be part of this?
He might be. Yeah, he might be. And Nate Danielson, if he didn't get hurt in the preseason, the thought was that he really had a great shot of making this team. But they've added some, the free agents they've added to this team, we'll see, you know, how good they can play in the long term. But Mason Appleton has looked like a really nice pickup so far. He's got a few goals already, which I think is a bonus, because don't expect that. But, you know, he's a responsible player too. And guys like Bernard Docker on the back end, the defenseman, you know, just be better than the guys that were on the team last year. And I think that's what we've seen, is these guys have taken that step. And having a full year with Todd McClellan as your head coach, with going through the whole training camp with him and starting the season, as opposed to changing coaches midway through the season, that helps. Getting stronger in goaltending, to solidify that. It's not going to be great goaltending, but it should be good enough. And every once in a while, these guys will show some greatness. Gibson's in net tonight. That's the guy they acquired. Let's hope that he continues to play better than what we saw opening night against Montreal, when it was just a terrible effort all around. Goaltending, defense, and the forwards. Nobody played well in that game. So I like where they're at. I like where they're going.
I think it's great that they have these young players, but the big number there for me is 76. They have 76 games to go. They call it the men's league. It is a grind, and when you're young and you're maybe not fully developed for the wear and tear of the NHL, I always worry about what that's going to look like at game 50, game 60, game 70. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, more from Steve Yzerman from this morning. On fans getting impatient, does Steve Yzerman understand why some fans are getting impatient? Here's what he had to say. God, I hope so.
Right. Well, and if not, I mean, then that seat warmer stays on three, and who knows how long the tenure is going to last. But it's a great start, but it's only six games.
Football's wildly popular. And in football, we have recent examples of guys that maybe organizations weren't patient enough with that have reinvented themselves. Like Goff, Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, all different circumstances.
How about Kyle Van Noy? You know, players like that left. And Jelani Tavai actually had some good seasons after he left the line.
Patience is like a four-letter word. I really want to see the patience pay off. And you know, the critics will say, if his name wasn't Yzerman. Well, his name is Yzerman. And maybe because his name is Yzerman, he will get just the amount of time and the patience will pay off. Still got to see that superstar. Still got to see that superstar.
Right now, Dylan Larkin's playing like one. He's got 11 points in six games, 5 goals in six games. He is playing like one right now. And in fact, he's playing like the Dylan Larkin we saw in the Four Nations Cup, who moved up from being on the fourth line to being the top player on the Team USA. He's playing great. Well, let's hope that he stays playing great and can stay healthy.
All right, when will the rebuild be over? One of the questions they asked him. We will get to that today at 12:33. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harris, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. All right, so look, Red Wings back in action tonight. 5-1 start with the captain, the GM, the man in charge, Steve Yzerman, joined the morning show today and answered a few questions from the guys, and you heard what he had to say about, you know, the young guns and the fans that are getting impatient. What about the question of when is the rebuild officially over? And, you know, I mean, you could probably think about what your answer to that is, but here is the way Steve Yzerman sees it. Okay, so trading young assets for players that will help you now. Where do you got to be? How close to the top of a conference do you have to be is the fascinating part of this question to me. If you're down near the bottom fighting to get into the playoffs, Steve Eisenman's already given us that that's not it. That's not it. If you're, and we may be grateful someday if a lot of these young guys pan out and they didn't give him up for immediate help.
Right.
Maybe not. It feels like his probably the arc of his career is dependent upon whether or not he did the right thing in the draft and then did the right thing hanging on to those players. But, I mean, if you're fourth in the East, is that a time where you say, yeah, let's give it some gas? Like, how close do you have to be? Because last year on March 1st, they were 8 points out of being fourth in the East. Can they be 8 points better when March rolls around?
Can they be? Sure, they can be. I mean, they're playing so well right now, but I was just talking to Kenny out in the hall. It's like, we mentioned this the other day. How many games do you need to have for the sample size to no longer be a small sample size where you can believe in it? And, you know, I mentioned maybe it's 30 games, and I'm not going to argue with anybody that says you got to wait until after March because March has been the month that has been the most difficult for the Red Wings. But if this team is playing at a level that has them in the top four after 30 games.
Well, it was more than 30, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about.
I'm just talking about for myself.
Okay, so you're not talking about trade deadline stuff.
Well, I guess the trade deadline is much later than that. Maybe 50 games or something like that. But I think they have to be maybe in the top four at the trade deadline for you to feel like that's where they're going to add. That's where they give up on a guy like, you know, Dmitry Bekalnikov, the Russian player who's in their system, who's playing the KHL right now, who they really like. Is it something like that where I gotta have some sign that we're really in good shape to give up one of those players? And maybe they don't. I mean, maybe they really like their guys and it just doesn't happen. But maybe it happens with a guy that has high upside but isn't like as highly as thought of as Bekalnikov. Maybe it's the aforementioned Carter Mazur. I don't know. But I think you have to be really, really good at the trade deadline to commit to giving up one of those top prospects to acquire a player.
So it's 63 games last year. The Red Wings were 63 games at the trade deadline. I'd love to see it. But it feels to me like a realistic goal, being 8 points better than you were a year ago, top four in the conference now. Some of these collapses they've had after the trade deadline make you think that 8 points better isn't going to make a damn bit of difference if they collapse again, which has been weird.
But what they can do is give up draft picks.
Yes, they can.
As opposed to the prospects. But if you do some sort of combination, you can always turn something that you have in-house into something special when you get to the trade deadline. Look, we'll worry about that when you get there and see what players are going to become free agents, who are the rental players. Is there a realistic shot at getting somebody who's not a rental that you can have long term? A lot leads up to that, but I think to make a big acquisition at the trade deadline, I think you've got to be in a really good spot.
Kenny, what did you make of the interview?
Well, I was actually thinking along similar lines of what Gator just said, and I look at the past seasons of us being in the playoff mix on the fringe leading into the deadline, and if we go based on past results, which is all we have, is if you're on the fringe of the playoffs, Steve has been reluctant to add. And that's based on just the past, yep. which is fine. And I think that would be my predictor, but now it's different because the young guys are up. The Pelikas are up. The Nygaards are up. The Finney is up. I mean, guys, and that's a guy that nobody saw coming, which is fine, but it seems like every other year, when those guys were not up, he's been reluctant to add. So I wonder, my biggest question mark is, now that that's the case, if they're in that playoff mix again come the deadline, is it any different?
It shouldn't be. I don't think it should be. And the reason is, that won't feel to me like he's doing it to save his job. Not doing it for any other. If they're not in any different position at the trade deadline and he decides to add this year, that tells me I'm desperate. I might be in trouble. I'm going to shift philosophy and GM for the short term instead of what I've always done, which is the long term.
See, I actually have the opposite perspective because I think he's like, all right, this is my plan. My guys are up. Now it's time to insulate these guys and go full throttle on my plan. Whereas before, they weren't up. It's not ready yet. Now they're here. That's my perspective. And I could be wrong.
So you think the same record, same place, He's a buyer this year, not standing pat.
Young guys are up. My plan is finally working out. Now it's time to insulate. That's my only logic. And maybe that's a little bit of hopium, and I fully cop to that. But
hopium.
I think now that his plan has finally come to fruition, and these young guys he's been touting for all these years, I'm not going to move past these guys. Now it's time to support them.
Well, I guess we'll find out in due time.
You know where I get the hopium from? The hoppy fields. Hopium.
You happy with that one?
I'm happy.
You like the term hopium?
I like the term hopium. I like that.
Feedback coming in here, I mentioned earlier. All I'm saying is if Barry Sanders rented my house, I would 100% indeed ask the man to take a handoff from me. Imagine being able to say, you handed a football off to Barry freaking Sanders. That's from Jody and Taylor.
I would say, you know what, with Barry, walk on the concourse with me and follow me, Barry. I will lead block for you through the concourse of the sea of people.
So there have been a couple of occasions, John, that when John? I was doing...
Just call me John.
I did. I was going to tell a story about John Jansen. Sorry. Been a couple of occasions, Scott, where I've been with John Jansen.
Yes.
On the road when I was doing sidelines. And we'd have to fight through the crowd to like get to a post-game locker room. And I'm John leads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just for a second there, you know.
I'm behind him.
I got like a ball tucked under my arm. I got my hand up like I'm following the lead blocker. This guy was an all pro.
Brady hands off to Karsh. Karsh goes right side and running right behind Jansen. He's up to the 50, the 45, the 40, the 35, 30 touchdown.
It's like he's at section 23. He's at section 22. He's got the proper credentials. He's in the tunnel. He's in the locker room. I'm not a Michael Jordan fan, but it'd be a cool story to say he shot at my rim. That's Eric and LP. That sounds like a bit of a...
Sounds dirty.
Yeah. Shot at my rim?
Come on, man. Let's... Come on.
I don't think
maybe
I'd ever
stop saying it. Maybe you don't need to say it again.
I mean, it just gets worse the more you think about it.
All right. It's Karsh
and
Anderson.
I knew right then it was on.
He definitely took that personal.
Gross.
It's Karsh and Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. It's NBA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.